Such an incredible thing was foretold of for many years in many different ways, and we only touched on a few of the prophetic statements about Christ, but they are all over the scripture. I pray that you commit to read through the entire Bible. You know, sometimes they have the Read Through the Bible in a Year program. Well, that's great. If you can do it in a year, you go for it, because I want to see you read through the Bible. But even if you take a 2-year program, please read through the Bible. Even if it takes you 3 years, please read through the Bible. You know, even if you start the 1-year program 5 times and don't finish it any of those 5 times, do it a 6th time so that you'll finish reading through the Bible. We need to know God's Word. And if you did read through the Bible all the way cover to cover once, do it again. Do it again. Because that is where we learn to be more like God. And that's what our calling is as Christians, is to be more like Christ each and every day. Amen? I get excited this time of the year because I'm just so blessed by the story of Christmas. And the biggest part of the blessing is it's true. Amen? It's true. It happened. It has happened. And then it reminds me that just like it was foretold it would happen, and it happened, just like it was foretold, that Jesus is coming back just like he said too. He's coming a 2nd time. What an incredible thing to look forward to. But I want us to look at Christ's arrival is confirmed and how he reveals himself to those who had room for him. Okay? And I put it in the present tense because he still reveals himself to those who have room for him. I'm going to tell you one of the great biggest tricks of the devil in our culture today is keeping people too busy. Too filled up with everything else to where we don't even have room for God anymore. Do I get an amen to that? You know, I think it, for us to really experience God in a profound way, we have got to make some room to get close to him, to allow him to come in. You know, ultimately, he can't take over the throne of our life till we get off the throne of our life. Amen? We can't be the king of our life and expect to call on him to be the king of our life, and that's the essence of salvation. Well, in the Christmas account, and that's what we're going to be looking at today, and I've just listed a few of the verses, but I really want to read through the whole Christmas account in Luke and Matthew today before we're done. We find that God did what he did in some very unlikely ways. You know, Jesus is King of Kings, amen? We know that. He's Lord of Lords. He has been, you know, from forever. He is eternal. And so, you know, it wasn't a new thing that he just began to exist during the Christmas story. It was just a new thing that he came to join the human experience and live as a man here on earth. He was 100% God and 100% man. He was born in an unusual way. Yes, the virgin birth. It's true. And he came and it's so incredible that when he got here, you know, we were talking about making room for Jesus. Literally, Bethlehem didn't have room for him. You know, we would think a king would have been born in a palace, a king would have been born in the most amazing of comforts. But in reality, when he was on his way to being born, like literally, there wasn't any room for him. I've had people argue with me about this and at times, you know, and they've tried to explain to me that they kept their stables really nice back then. It was still a stable. I've been told that they lived so close to the family that it was almost like being in the house. It still wasn't in the house. You know what? It was indicative of the way that he would be received by people later on as well. You know? So the stable had room for him, so that's where he was born. And if you have room for him, that's where he'll live. And there were some that had room for him in this wonderful account. I hesitate to call it a story, because when we think of stories, sometimes we think it's fictional or optional. This is an account. This is a historic account. And we're going to find out that God revealed his work and his son through the ones who made room for him. And they were some pretty unlikely ones. So we can't judge who's going to receive God and who isn't. But I'm just going to start each one of these little headings with a question. Do we have room for Jesus? Do we have room for Jesus? I just want us to ask ourselves, because, you know, maybe you have been saved for a long time, and I pray you have, and I pray that, you know, your relationship with him is the real deal. And I'm glad that you've done that, but I'm going to say that the world is always pressing in, trying to force our time for him out. Don't let the world take his place in your life, please. Because he still comes to those in a profound way, in a special way, that make room for him, have room for him. And we see here, Bethlehem didn't. And so let's look at Luke chapter 2. You can go ahead and open your Bibles because we're going to read bigger passages. We're actually going to read 1 through 7 here. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. This was just a coincidence, of course, that all of David's family needed to go to Bethlehem, all the descendants of David. It was just a coincidence. No, it was to fulfill prophecy, wasn't it? And it was going to fulfill prophecy because as we read on, we're going to find out it happened at exactly the right time. Exactly the right time. You know, the birth of a child is such an amazing event. And you know, I remember as our children were coming time to, you know, close to their due date. You know, there's just this, like this joyful expectation, but there's a little bit of fear there too. Do I get an amen? It's kind of like, okay, when's this thing going to happen? Where are we going to be? What are we going to be doing? Well, I'll tell you what, when it came time, it was time. Okay? And so let's read on through this. And so it was this time. And so all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. Bethlehem. Can anybody tell me what that name Bethlehem means? House of bread. And Jesus said, I'm the bread of life, isn't he? Isn't that amazing? Because he was of the house and lineage of David to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger. And I went ahead and underlined this last part, because there was no room for them in the inn. Can anybody tell me what a manger is? It's like a feeding trough. You know why he was laid in a feeding trough? And I'm sure they did it delicately. I'm sure they wrapped him up. We see it was with swaddling cloths. I'm sure that mama and you know, stepdad or adopted dad was doing everything they could to make this as good as they possibly could. But they were there in that circumstance, putting him in a feeding trough because there wasn't any room for him. There wasn't any room for him anywhere else. But how amazing that God cared for his son in this way. You know, he had a special plan for this young man, amen? And so, man, just to think about that. And for those who had that room in their heart, it was so important to know that he was the real deal. You know, do we have room for Jesus as we kind of move along? Do we have room for Jesus? Take a lesson from the shepherds. They had room for Jesus. You know what? Shepherds had an important job. And as people, you know, as we know, like this Bethlehem area, we can look back historically. This is where they raised a lot of the sheep that would be done as the sacrifices in the temple and things of that nature. So these shepherds, I think, they even had even a more important job. You know, it was kind of a real special thing that they were taking care of these lambs that would be slaughtered, right? And it was appropriate that Jesus would be born there because he's the Lamb of God who came to take away the sin of the world. He was the perfect sacrifice. He was what all these other sheep were pointing toward, you know? And so when we think about this, you got these shepherds, and they had an important job. You know, if they left those sheep and all those sheep got slaughtered while they weren't watching, they would probably have a serious price to pay. But you see, these shepherds were going to be tested on this when this announcement came to them. So let's read Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20 now. And now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. What do you think these shepherds were like? Like appearance-wise? Do you think they were real clean-cut, had really fine three-piece suits? And do you think they were like the really affluent people of society? No. These guys lived out in the elements all the time. They were probably the roughest of the rough. You know, they probably had big woolly beards. They probably had a lot of hair, you know. They probably wore, are you worried about your appearance the last few days whenever you went outside? Was it just your appearance you were thinking about? Man, I want to get my nicest clothes. No, you were looking for clothes that were warm enough to go outside. Amen? These guys laid out in the field with their sheep all night long, and sometimes it got pretty chilly. You know, probably not quite like we get here, but it still would get pretty chilly. These guys, they were accustomed to living a pretty tough, you know, pretty rugged life. I met a shepherd one time in Dubai. And I'll tell you, that was the most weathered guy I've ever seen in my life. He was an older gentleman, had lived out in the elements, and he literally didn't care sheep out in this arid environment. And they moved him to the city because he was such a miraculous guy. It was really kind of a funny deal, but they built him a special little place in the middle of the city that looked just like his camp. And they put walls around it so nobody would mess with him in there. And it was like a historic, you know, reenactment of his life. He looked like he was in his 80s or 90s, but in reality, he was probably about in his 60s. He had lived a really hard life, and he stayed. They did it almost as a kindness to him. They let him stay here so that he could show the younger city people what it looked like to survive, like he had survived. And, you know, he did it well. It was interesting. You know, he actually was very hospitable, and he invited us to come over and sit down on his rug, and he prepared some food for us, and he shared it with us and prepared some tea for us. And everything. Very hospitable man. But I'm going to say, you could tell he had had a pretty rough life. And I just imagine whenever God, you know, revealed this wonderful event to these shepherds, they were probably guys a lot like him. You know, just guys that were faithful, guys that were trustworthy, guys that knew how to live in hard conditions. So they were out there keeping watch over their flock by night, and behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." Guys, we're still celebrating it today. It's the most joyful thing I can imagine. And he says, "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Guys, I want to stop for just a second to interject this one more thought. They were only going to see that babe laying in that manger, wrapped in swaddling cloths, if they obeyed these angels and went. There are so many people thinking somehow or another God's just going to zap them with all the blessings and everything that they need and even belief. But I'm going to say God reveals, but we got to obey. These men were given a choice at this point. Were they going to obey this vision which had been given to them? So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." They had a decision to make, and they made the right one. And I'm going to tell you, they showed that they had room for God to move in their hearts. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. What do you know? The vision that God had shown them was true. They just needed to go and see. How beautiful is that? Now, when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child, and all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things which they had heard and seen as it was told them. So do you have room for Jesus? Take a lesson from the shepherds. When God reveals to you, be obedient. Move toward him. Go see what he has to show you. I'll tell you, God's shown me some things through the years that it was his will for me to do. You know, one of them was going on my first foreign mission trip. I used to hear Ilda talk about going on these foreign mission trips. We have dear saint, dear friend of ours, Ilda and her son Josh came to join us today that were from Sandy Baptist Church. And I can remember Ilda used to get up there and give reports on her African mission trips. She's been all over the world. And I used to think, well, that's good for her, but it ain't good for me. I just want to reveal to you, Ilda. I used to sit there and think, you know, she's got her passport and uses it, but I don't need mine because I'll never need to leave the United States. God's going to use me right here. Well, you know, one day, God revealed to me that he was calling me to go on a foreign mission trip. And you know what I needed to do? I needed to obey him. And you know, I sensed that if I didn't obey him, I was going to miss out. I sensed that there would even be discipline, I think, if I didn't obey him. But the choice was still mine to make. And boy, was I ever nervous about it. But I'll tell you, it's one of the smartest things I ever did was just obeying God. It meant I had to be away from my family for 14 days. No, that wasn't a normal thing for me. It meant it was going to cost me a whole bunch of money. Man, I'm cheap. I'm not just frugal. I ain't going to try to pretty it up. I'm cheap. She's laughing at me. We're both cheap is what she's laughing about. But you know what? Whenever I obeyed God, it was the greatest blessing. Changed my life and still does today. You know, Pastor Anthony from Sri Lanka that we talk about, we pray for, and we even help to give aid into their country. I met him on that trip. I ministered with him on that trip, and we still pray for one another and talk today. God knows what he's doing, folks. He's making connections for us all over. Do we make room for him? The next slide and the next area that we want to look at here in this story, do we make room for him? Do we have room for him? Ask Simeon and Anna. These were two devout people that have been looking for God to move. And in fact, they were positioning themselves all the time so that whenever God did send the Messiah, they would be in a place where they could celebrate it. Let's look at Luke chapter 2, verses 21 through 38. And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of a child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. Guys, obedience, following the Lord. When the Lord, he sensed the Lord's leading, he obeyed him. And so he went into the temple, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him, Jesus, up in his arms and blessed God. Isn't that a beautiful picture? What a gift that Simeon received from God to be able to touch the Christ as a newborn child. And you know why? Because he obeyed God and he was there. What a beautiful, beautiful picture. He made room. In verse 29, this is what he said. Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation. It just gives me chills all over. Guys, they were coming out of 400 years of God being silent. God had not spoken through a prophet for 400 years. They felt forsaken. They had been through a 70-year exile and a terrible time trying to get back to their homeland. They had gone through trials and tribulations like you can't imagine. The Greek Empire took them over. Then they got split up between four kings that wrestled over them. They defiled the temple. They poured out pigs' blood as a sacrifice in there and just defiled everything. There was such wickedness that had happened for 400 years. These folks, they wondered if they would even be able to survive as a people. And this old man, Simeon, got to see the Savior. Oh my goodness, that is so beautiful. And he said, "For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples to bring a light, to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, the child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years who did not depart from the temple but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all who looked for the redemption of our redemption in Jerusalem. You know why Simeon and Anna had that great blessing? Because they had room. They had room in their life. They made room to put God first. You know, God has blessings for all of us. It'll be our choice to make the room for him, to follow him. I wonder how many people pass up blessings that are untold in their lives and never even know that they missed out until later. You know, it says that when we get to heaven, he's going to dry every tear. And I can't help but think that some of those tears may be when we realize some of the blessings we passed up on the way. I just really want to make the best, you know, of every opportunity. And for me to do that, I'm going to have to make room for him. We're going to have to make room for him. Let's turn back over to Matthew. Do we have room for Jesus? Do we have room for Jesus? I hope we do. Let's take some lessons from the wise men. Let's take some lessons from the wise men. Matthew chapter 2. We're going to read verses 1 through 12. Matthew chapter 2. Verses 1 through 12. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." Man, they made room for him. They made room for him. They made their life about making sure they got in a position where they could worship Jesus. And when Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Now I've just got to stop and ask a question. These scribes knew where he was going to be born, and they knew pretty well about when he was going to be born, because, you know, we can look back at the record that was given to Daniel, and it's pretty clear. It's pretty clear. If they had an idea that the king was there, why didn't they go to worship him? So they're handing off this news to these envoys who've come from a long ways off, who made a big deal to make a trip to come there, those wise men. And yet, they didn't bother to go out there and check it out. You know what? They missed out. But the wise men didn't. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent with them sent them to Bethlehem and said, go search carefully for the young child, and when you found him, bring back word to me that I may go worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over the young child, where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. When they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him: gold, frankincense, myrrh. Every one of these were gifts to that were of a kingly price. I'm going to tell you, these were a great sacrifice of these men. All of these were very expensive items. Did they have room for him? Do we have room for him? Does he own it all in our life, is the question I'm asking. We need to ask ourselves that question and take lessons from the wise men. They presented these gifts, and in verse 12, then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. So, do we have room for Jesus? Take lessons from the wise men. Be like the wise men. Wise men, I'll say this, wise men and women worship Jesus. And these wise men worship Jesus. If you don't have room for Jesus, then you're going to end up like Herod. And I'm going to tell you, Herod was a very tormented man. If we look at the story, it shows us what Herod, how Herod dealt with the king coming. It threatened him. Because remember what I told you about our heart? There's only room for one king on the throne. And Herod wanted to be that king. There's many of us that may be still struggling with that. We want to be the king of our life. We've got to decide. If we want him to be the king, we need to make room for him. We need to get off the throne and let him have it. But Herod wasn't willing to do that. Remember how it said he was troubled back in verse 3? That's how we'll end up. We'll end up troubled. You want to see a really troubled person in this world? You'll see somebody who God's tapping on their heart and they're unwilling to give him the heart. That's trouble. And so let's look at what happens with Herod in verse 13. Now when they departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there till I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry. And he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in his districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which had been determined from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more. Guys, if we refuse to make room for Jesus, we'll end up like Herod, and we'll just kill any attempt that the Lord Jesus makes to be part of us, to take over our heart, to give us the peace and the joy that he really wants us to have. And this is what causes persecution all over the world. We look at those persecutors and we think, man, those are terrible, terrible people. Well, I'll tell you what, we would be those terrible, terrible people if we don't make room for Jesus. Because you're either going to make room for Jesus or you're going to be given over to evil. And in the last day, you're going to be thrown into hell. And hell is forever, and it's not what we want for anybody. So the first one to make sure is right with God is you. Make sure you've made room for Jesus. Let him have the throne of your heart. Let him have it all. Call him king, because that's what Lord means. If you confess with your mouth, Lord Jesus, that means King Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Give your life to Jesus. And then the second thing we want to take from this is we got a lot of people we know that don't know Jesus, don't we? Let's encourage them with everything that we can do to make room for him. in their lives. You guys are going to have people over to your houses for dinner, some of you. In fact, we went to a dinner yesterday. Man, I just want to come back with a great report. Thank you for praying for our dinner yesterday. Sometimes we feel like the oddball, like the only one that wants to try to witness, and we've even been asked to not do it sometimes because people don't want to hear about Jesus if they're in odds with him, you know? But here's the deal. God sent two other people yesterday that just did awesome witnessing for Jesus. I just sat back and kept my mouth shut and prayed because, man, they were doing amazing. God knows how to send people into the battle. So he will be there with you today as well. Let me pray for you. Dear Father, as we have read the Christmas story this morning, we find out a few things that we didn't know, maybe coming into it. We found out that the reason why the shepherds got such a joy, the reason why Simeon got such a joy, the reason why Anna got such a joy, even the reason why Joseph and Mary had such a joy was because they were willing to obey you. But Father, we also see that if those who were unwilling to obey you, they just continued to be troubled. Those Pharisees, those scribes, they just continued to be troubled. Even when Jesus started his ministry, they were still troubled. We learn that the wise men probably came along a little later than the nativity scene. It was probably within a couple years after Jesus was born. And we see they came to the house and they would not give up their search until they had made it to find this king. They came from a faraway place and they brought great gifts, very expensive gifts. But they made room for Jesus and man, it was worth it. Lord, you reveal something to us here this morning. It's worth it to obey God. It's worth it to make room for Jesus. And if we make room for you now, you're making a room for us in heaven for eternity. You said, I go to prepare a place for you that where I am, that you may come to. So Lord, help us to make room for Jesus today so we can be with you.